We're all playing in the same band. There's enough guitars for you and me. Stand beside your brother and take his hand. Seems the times are changing, finally. We're all playing in the same band. Sing the song together and you'll see. Let them know forever just where you stand. People must be learning, finally. And we're all playing in the same band. We're all playing in the same band. We're all playing in the same band. Oh, him, her, you and me, them and those, he and she and we. And we. Him, her, you and me, them and those, he and she and we. And we. We're all playing in the same band. There's enough guitars for you and me. Stand beside your brother and take his hand. Seems the times are changing.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Artie Kornfeld.
Hello, Mr. Artie Kornfeld. It's interesting. You can call me Mo and you can call me Joe. Hi, welcome to the Spirit meeting tonight. We've got to have the Spirit. Come on. We have the Spirit. You got to have the Spirit because if you watched some news today, like I got the opportunity to do, and you saw Obama last night speaking, and you saw this right-wing Tea Party guy jumping up, screaming at the president of our country, screaming at the commander-in-chief, the person we're counting on right now, let's face it, he's in there, and just screaming that he was the Antichrist. He's the Antichrist. And then hearing the figures that, I don't know if it was the Tea Party or all of America, I think it was the Tea Party, 12% think that Obama is a Muslim, and 29% think he wasn't born here still. I mean, there's only records of every step he took his whole life, you know, and he was such a great student and so smart, he stood out, so it wasn't like he disappeared and came back, you know, he flew to Kenya and got born real quick and then flew to Hawaii. Anyway, it's annoying. This guy from New Jersey, this guy Christie, they're running out of people. They may come to me. I have two honors. I must tell you, two honors. Ryan and I are not in the Rock Hall of Fame. We should be, but we're not. And Woodstock should be. But I am an honorary citizen of Woodstock, Illinois, because I spoke and did a book signing. And if you're in Daniels, Illinois, on January 23rd, they named it Artie Kornfeld Day. You know. Because I went there and helped with something. So anyway, it's a good show tonight. It felt like rocking, you know. It's a rocking kind of show. So many things happening. I'm so angry that, you know, rock always soothes the soul. It's in so many songs. It says it all. Great band tonight with lead singer Brent Looney, The Effect. The Apollo Effect. Heard it once and said immediately, I've got to have him on the show. So, like to get, is Brent here yet? Or we'll put on Promise.
And, yeah, we're going to put on Promise and then we'll get Brent on the line. Or Bert.
Yeah, you see, it's a tight ship tonight, guys. Man the sails. Here comes Promise by the Apollo Effect.
Thank you.
Hello there. It's Artie. How are you? Everybody having a good night, I hope. The spirit is good tonight. I mean, what do we mean the spirit's good? I don't know. Ben?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. What did you have promise about? Did you actually literalize that? I only always ask that because I'm a songwriter. I'm always curious whether you know, were you aiming at something or you just wanted to write a great song?
Well, that song came along at a very important time for me because that was probably the darkest point of my life. So that one came to me at a point when there was someone very important to me that was just kind of had to hang in there and wait for me to come around. So yeah, it was it's one of those songs. It just happens, you know. The great ones always do.
Yeah, and I guess after that period, something happened because you came around.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you know what? And you know this probably better than anyone, Artie, is that songs help you do that. That's one of the blessings of being a songwriter is that you have that that vehicle to, you know, express yourself and get rid of those demons and all those things that are inside that you can't really verbalize, and somehow they come out in the music. And that's why it's so good. Same times, you know, it's a curse too, because you find you're always chasing that one great song, but luckily they come out eventually, one way or another.
Yeah, you know what, it's so much different now, because, you know, when I came in, it was all about being, I came as a writer strictly. It just happened to be I became an artist and whatever else happened in my life, but it was writing the song was always such a trip, writing the song, and you know, and then performing was a trip too. You know, it's another. But I always found the best part of the trip to me was when you had a great song and you felt it and you went in the studio and you hit the basic track just right.
You know, there's something to be said about that. I mean, for, you know, playing it live is one thing, but when you get in the studio and you can really play with it and manipulate it and then end up giving it everything you've got and committing it to tape, you know, that's huge. And then, you know, that it's going to be there forever, right?
Yeah, forever, you know. Unless some of the Tea Party think that the apocalypse is going to come in 11 or 12 months, because it's the rapture is going to come, unless you believe in Jesus like the Tea Party. So, anyway, I didn't mean to go back there. You know, because your silk promise was the darkest point. This is the darkest point of our country, you know. I think that maybe it's the darkest point, you know.
You know,
what?
Well, I was just going to say it's interesting. I'm getting it from a different perspective, mind you, being up here in Canada, right? But we watch every move you guys make, and you know, sometimes we can have an objective point of view and kind of shake our heads. And you know, it's in disappointment only because, you know, we love America, and so we, you know, it's disappointing to see some of these things happen and the perspective that some people take. So I feel for you, and I hear you. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad, I actually forgot you're in Canada, because I was going to say, like when I was in Korea, the news was totally different. You know, they don't really it seems to me like someone is controlling the press. You know, because I think we hear what they want us to hear.
Well, I think that's always been the case, hasn't it? Really? I mean, when you think about it, I mean, the whole, you know, this, you know, mainstream media is something that everybody's got an angle. And, you know, everybody's got a reason for why they want to sell you something. And they're trying to tell you what to believe for their own benefit. And it's sad, but unfortunately it's true. So,
and you know why your music is good? Why I like your band? Because your band shows that that's how you feel.
Well, hey, I appreciate that, and I'm glad you pick up on that, because,
I do.
You know, yeah, and that's important. And you and I had a conversation last week about that, and I could see that you can see much deeper than, you know, the average person, which is great, because, you know, you come from a songwriting background. But, I mean, that's our objective. It's not to be political, but it's just to be social. socially conscious, you know.
For sure, and maybe even help, like a song I wrote, or help another brother on his way. It's like maybe with that your song you help someone on their way, which leads us to everybody has to face every day, just like we have to face every 80 years or maybe I hope 90 years, has to face nighttime. So the Apollo effect, facing nighttime.
I watched
now from on top of the Apollo Theater in New York with the Apollo Effect. It's Artie Kornfeld. That was really good. You guys are really good.
Well, thank you.
Well, you were telling me. You want to say a little bit about that song? And by the way, let's get it out of the way. This is not selling. This is trying to spread what you have and hoping people have it in their house so they can groove with it whenever they want. So if you want to hear the band right now, and you know what? That's why the show's on, to give bands like this a chance to be heard. That would have already been signed. Believe me, I ran three companies. I would have signed this band at any one of the three. And I'm talking when I was running. So what was that song all about, Nighttime?
Yeah, you know what?
Where do you get your stuff first? Downloads.
Oh, you can get the stuff at iTunes, but that is the new song from the new album that's hasn't been released yet. It's going to be coming out in the next couple of months, I think, and we just finished that record, and you can get our previous album, though. I think you'll be hearing a song coming up next from that one. You can get it on iTunes. That's probably the best place, as much as I hate to promote that. But
okay, my book is on iTunes.
Oh, is it? Well, then, okay, we're good. We're good, then.
Yeah, we're iTunes bros. Hey. We should wear jackets and get tattoos like the Aryan Brotherhood. God forbid, you know, they can't stand what they stand for. Everybody knows that. Just a joke, because I've been watching these prison things they put on at night, and it's scary about the gangs in the prisons. But back to what we're really about tonight is the Apollo Effect. And this is all, what I'm talking about is all part of the Apollo Effect. You know, what put you in the point that you felt me against the world when you wrote the next song? What made you come up to?
Well, it's funny. Those two songs, it's a good segue one to the other, because Nighttime, the one we just heard, was written at a time when the band was really going through a lot of personal stuff. Everybody had their own issues, and we weren't sure if we wanted to continue on. It was not because we didn't love each other, but because there was just a lot of crap going on in our lives, and that song just came together one night for me, and we brought it in, and the guys just, you know, we all just pulled together. It was our rally cry, really, and it's probably why we end most of our shows with it, because it's just a big anthem, and everybody can feel it, you know, and that's the power of music. And you know, Me Against the World, which is the next song, which was off our previous album, which you can download. Was another one where it was just a song that we all feel like those dark times. And I think you and I were talking about it by email recently, that you get in one of those, you know, kind of semi-depressions, and you can't find your way out, and you feel like everywhere you turn, it's, you know, there's always walls there. You got to battle something else. But, you know, in the end, you know you can rise above it. And that's the ultimate challenge, right?
Right. As a Canadian, are you hoping, do you feel that about our president, and you're hoping he can rise above it?
Well, you know what? I mean, I almost feel people can have their thoughts and whatever about Obama. But, I mean, I feel like, you know, that guy inherited a really massive hole to climb out of. That's a difficult place for anyone. And I don't know if there was any possibility of him winning, really, within the first 4 years, anyway. I mean,
but after the midterm election with big business, and now with the Supreme Court, that Justice Thomas, whose wife is a member of the big fundraiser, you know, corporation for the Tea Party, and she's married to Supreme Court Justice, a little conflict there. It actually got me so mad it threw me off the point, so take over.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, that's the difficult thing, is because there's no easy way for anybody. Let's face it. The whole state of politics, it's a really big machine, and it takes more than one man to come in and change that. I mean, it's years and years of a machine that operates on its own, and it takes, you know, years to change something that's been the way it's been for a very long time. There's too many interest groups. There's too many other people with so much interest invested. How can one man change all that? Well, that's not to sound defeated, but you have to be realistic and think that it's got to start with one man, and I think everybody saw that in Obama. But
right, and you saw it too, and that's why you wrote Me Against the Wall.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know what? That's exactly where it comes from.
Yes, so let's pretend we're Obama listening to Me Against the Wall by the Apollo Effect. Guess if the Gallup poll took a poll, a lot of people have felt in the last hour or day that it was Me Against the World. And I think because of the economic situation, Brent, could you feel it in your own life and with your friends' lives? Do you see things going down with people losing stuff?
Well, absolutely, man. That's the constant battle of life, really. But I don't think we've ever felt an impending doom, really, like we have, at least in our lifetime, right? In our generation,
well,
so to speak.
No, this
I don't
is
think
real. This
yeah,
is
I mean,
real stuff. Yeah, if the United States goes down, the world goes down.
Well, that's just it. I don't think we've felt this kind of, we've always felt, I mean, I'm sure you do as Americans, you always feel like, hey, there's no problem we can't conquer, but this, it's a pretty big deal, you know.
I mean, you know, I don't know if people, if the regular voter knows, I don't know what IQs are, but the fact is, you know, if Obama loses and that particular right wing takes over, it wasn't supposed to be a crossing of the departments. That's the Supreme Court is extremely right wing. It would make the Senate, the Congress, and the President, you know, and I just see these states' rights things, and when this one crazy lady wants to build a wall all the way 3,000 miles against Mexico and all the issues we face here, you know. So it's, but I guess it all comes down to us trying to do the best we can while we fight our own individual battles against the world.
Well, you know? Every nation has to do that, right? Every nation has their own battles within themselves, right, within their own nation, and that's kind of like people. We all have our personal battles, and then we have our daily battles, and it's no different. It's just on a grander scale.
You know what? I had a situation fall through today that was going to happen. That fell through. It was for a future date, but it was all. It was just something that was going to be very huge and really help the world. So it's not about the bread, and it's not about what it was going to be, but it's just a, you know, I so wanted this to happen, and the funny thing was going to happen in a very Tea Party area. It was really to bring people together, not push them apart, you know, and that's what it is, and it's not over yet, you know, but today something did fall through, and that bothers me, because, it takes a lot. I've only been able to do one with Michael Lang in our lifetime. That's a Woodstock. Like, well, we know we can never do another Woodstock.
But you know what? Your message is so powerful. I mean, you haven't, you know, that hasn't changed for you in your lifetime. And really, it takes someone like you to keep this thing going. And we really need to not lose the spirit of that.
Yeah. Well, that's why I've done this since I stopped actively and refused to. When payola got so heavy in the music industry, radio stations, I refused to take any clients because I wouldn't play the game, you know. And if I hadn't, you know, left California after 20 years and come to Florida and met Caroline on the computer, actually, who I love, who's my significant other for a long time now, that brought me back, you know. And now it's not just me against the world. At least it's good to have a significant other. Because I did have a wife, and she died when I very young, and has been gone a long time, and we were married 16 years. And, you know, so it was me against the world then, and I just thank God for the fact that I had her. So,
absolutely.
Since we went through that, and, you know, and everybody knows my daughter died of an overdose, so kids, stay sober. Do not pick up. Stay sober. Listen to music. It's cool.
That was always my escape. That was always my way out.
Yeah. Right, and your girlfriend, and when you get to the point where your girlfriend is suicide, write a song that my friend Brent already recorded, and the name of the song is, her name is Suicide.
They all.
Yeah. What would you metaphorically, if you could pick out an object or anything, and you know, not even a person, what would come into your mind what name would come into your mind? It doesn't have to be a person.
Yeah, no, I'd say heaven. Heaven in a really strange way. Well, because, you know, ultimately isn't that the ultimate state? You know, and I'm not saying that religiously, I'm saying that spiritually. A place like heaven.
You know what, I was born Jewish. I went to Catholic school in North Carolina. I was a member of I was born again. I was a member of the Methodist Youth Fellowship. I do Japanese Nichiren Daishonin chanting, and I meditate transcendental since 1967. So sometimes I get there, believe it or not, in this life.
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, call it what you want, right? I mean, that's the name I apply to it, but it's not something I hang my hat on. It's just.
I did the Sweat Lodge on the Rosebud Reservation in the Dakotas, and did it officially. And I did get to the place three times meditating too. I got to the same exact place. It was incredible. I don't want to describe it to people. And I spoke to other people who had near-death experiences, and they've all seen the same thing that I saw three times behind meditation and, organic mescaline and doing the Sweat Lodge. And it was really the most incredible feeling that I have ever felt. So,
that's exactly the place I'm talking about then.
Yeah, like Buzzy Leonard used to be signed to me, who wrote "You Gotta Have Friends." He in one of his songs, he has a line: "Heaven is the sweetest place that I have ever known."
Right. Well,
you know. So, my name is Suicide, and did you get to the city and you heard the screams?
Yes, I did. I hear the screams every day in the city, and then you thank God you have someone to go home to that you love.
That's, really, and you have that. When did you write the song? Before you had someone to love, or after?
No, after. This she inspired it, and you know, as they often do. But it was, you know, again, it was at the same period I wrote "Promise" and I wrote "Nighttime," and it was all battling, you know, my demons and the darkness, and screams came at a point where I was just starting to come out of it and see the light, and that light is reflected in the chorus in particular when I say I feel loved when I'm in your arms, because all the other bullshit in your life, you can deal with it as long as you have that.
I believe it or not, I do understand, and so let's hear screams of the city. So, Brent, after you live in the screams of the city, I guess you can't be antisocial.
Yeah, you know what? You can't be too antisocial. But unfortunately, it seems our society's turning into that, isn't it? We all hide behind technology.
Well, you know what? Which does lead to antisocial, and the honeymoon is over.
Yeah.
Writer and singer in the band. The band's really good. What's your instead of screams of the city, what's your dream to the city for you?
Wow. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm feeling the same thing you are. You know, we just want happiness. You know, however we find it. In a positive way, of course.
And you're not really making the, I could tell, you're not really doing your music to make money. You're doing your music because you have to do your music.
No, we've never made money. Money is a figment of imagination for anyone at this point in time. And no, we make music because we have to, because we love it, because it's what's in our soul, and that's the way it should be for anyone who does it.
Yeah. Well, I can't stop, and I've been going. My first record was 58. As an artist and a writer, and my name was Jess Wild. I was in the 10th grade. I couldn't believe I had a record out.
You know, that's phenomenal.
It's sort of bizarre, you know. So it's really been great. I was great when I just heard what I heard, and then now that I've heard more, you know, it really blew me away. So thanks for blowing me away, because this is the kind of day I needed to be blown away. Now I'll go back, put on the news, and get depressed and stuff, but then I'll think about your songs, because there was great messages, man. Thank you so much. And this, I produced with Bert Sumner, and I'm real proud of my work with Bert as a producer. People don't realize what a producer does. They think you just sit in an office. Well, no. No, you know, in our days, you had the songs, the players, you got to get the sounds, you're part of a whole... You become part of the act you're producing if you're really a good producer. And to everybody out there, I think we're definitely set up for the closing song, which is just Hold the Light. So everybody out there, whatever you're going through, you know, do with me too, because sometimes it's hard for me these days. But let's all hold the light. And thank you so much, Brent and the Apollo Effect.
Thank you, Artie.
Keep on trucking, man.
Thanks, man. It was really, really a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Where I'd like to be. It's a place where your mind is free. If you've seen it, better keep it. Don't let go. Hold the light. It's so bright. I can't describe it, but it's right and easy to find. What I want to do, I can try to enlighten you. If you've seen it, better keep it. Don't let go. If you've seen it, better keep it. Don't let go.